WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning. And if you are looking for a place to head out to breakfast, maybe stop by Pandolfi's Mattapoisett Diner because you might see some celebrities over there. Movie star Joey Lauren Adams, she's going to be starring in the new film The Weeknd on Cape Cod When Everything Changed. That is filming now in Mattapoisett, and she stopped in yesterday for some breakfast. We've got the story at WBSM.com and on the app. And Joey, if you're listening, or maybe Kevin Nealon, your co-star, if he's listening, you know, don't let the fact that we wrote an article about it stop you from going back to the Mattapoisett Diner, because great people over there, great folks. Brian's awesome. And you'll be treated just like everybody else in town over there. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Okay. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
I'd like to talk about the TB and the measles.
Okay.
Okay. In 2023, we had 9,633 cases of TB. And they were saying 607 deaths of measles. Big high percentage raise, 15.6% raise. There was 27-year decline of TB. Now, when I looked this up, 27 years it was going down. Now, the reason it said that we're having all these increases is because of travel and migration. It's not because Americans were not vaccinated. You agree with that?
I don't. You can't say that one is the cause and not the other. I think both play a part.
Well, they weren't talking about the vaccinations on the site that I'm looking at. And it's coming from the CDC. It doesn't say anything about Americans don't want to be vaccinated or there's too many that are not vaccinated. I believe it's from people coming here because they were never vaccinated at all. 27 years of decline, Weisberg. That means going down. So we were in pretty good shape.
Then why is it why are American citizens the ones that are suffering from it and dying from it and not the people that are coming from other countries?
How do you know that? How do you know who they are and what kind of ethnicity they are?
Because there's been all kinds of stories about who's been dying of measles in Texas.
The bottom answer that I'm looking for from you is, you don't think it's from foreigners coming here?
No, I just said that plays a part, but so do the fact that people are refusing to believe that the vaccines are necessary.
Okay, so do you think that everyone should get vaccinated?
Yes.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. And let me tell you about the death of these measles. There was five of us kids. I got four siblings, and me, that's five. We all got the measles. We were out of school for 2 days, and we went back to school. None of us
Great.
Died.
What year was that?
We didn't have a measles. There was no vaccine for the measles back then.
What year was that?
Well, I was born in 52. I got the measles when I think I was five or six.
So you do realize that the measles of 2025 can be more virulent than the measles of 1958.
Okay, so you have to say something to you have to push a point.
Do you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like to me when, you know, Tom Brady breaks his leg and people are like, well, he'll be back in 3 months because I broke my leg when I was 17 and I was in high school and I played football. So he'll be back in 3 months.
There are a lot of cases like mine. You think we were the only kids in the city at the time? It was going around. The kids got it in school too. We all went back to school. Where were the cases of death of measles in the late 50s, early 50s? Come on, Mr. Weisberg.
People died of the measles in the 50s.
So you don't believe that your body can generate your own immune system for this kind of stuff?
It doesn't matter if it can or it can't. The fact that you can still carry the virus and give it to other people. Whether or not your body is fighting it off, you're still a contagion of the. You're still contagious.
Yeah, no. You refuse to believe that foreigners are bringing these diseases over
here. I just said that that's part of it.
Yeah, but you're leaning more towards we're unvaccinated.
You're leaning more toward it's those dirty immigrants coming in again. As you
Listen,
do with everything.
Did I say dirty immigrants? You're putting words in my mouth.
Oh, okay. All
I
right.
I never
right.
said dirty right. immigrants.
Okay, fine. Fine.
I didn't say that.
Fine. But you think that they're the root of all problems, Mary. You think that the immigrants are the root of all problems.
Well, listen, I'm trying to say we didn't die from it back then.
So that doesn't mean people aren't dying from it now.
I don't think we heard many cases at all of any children dying of measles back then when I was a kid.
You're using anecdotal evidence with no actual facts behind it.
But you just can't accept none of it. None of it's true, right? None
because of half of what you say is garbage that you read on the internet that isn't true.
Garbage. I'm saying garbage now.
Yeah, you say a lot of garbage. You do. You say a lot of garbage that you read on the internet.
Okay, the bottom line is you don't want to blame the people that are coming here.
I just...
I've never been vaccinated, by
fourth,
the way.
Fourth time now...
I've never vaccinated them at the border when they
fourth
were...
Fourth time now that I am saying that, yes, that's part of it.
Yeah, but it's not enough of it.
Well, because you want me to come out and say that it's the whole problem, but that's not true.
And those children are put into schools, and they weren't forced to get vaccinated. How do you feel about that? How come we were losing jobs? We couldn't even go to work unless...
Well, why don't they have to go through the same vaccination process that other school kids go through?
Just answer my question without asking another one, please.
No. First of all, don't tell me how to have a conversation, all right?
Listen. Why aren't you saying that they should have been vaccinated to come in here?
I just said that. I said, why don't they have to go through the same vaccination process that other school kids go through?
You know, I understand the way you feel. You're going to disagree with me no matter what I say. I'm just telling you we didn't die. All five of us, not one of us kicked the bucket. Not one.
Okay, well, I had cancer and I didn't die, but that doesn't mean that other people that have cancer don't die.
Cancer's a different thing.
So is the measles.
We're talking about measles and the TB cases that are arising all around here. That doesn't worry you at all?
Yeah, it worries me because so many people think they don't need to get vaccinated against it.
Yeah, so many people. Yeah, so many people. I'm going to leave it there. I know it's because of foreigners coming here who are never vaccinated whatsoever. And God only knows what other diseases they're bringing here that we're not even putting out to the public.
Wonder what diseases we're giving to them. I'm sure we're giving them some sicknesses too.
Well, they came here. We didn't go over there and get them and bring them here. They came here.
Remember what we did to the Native Americans when we came here? We gave them smallpox blankets.
No. And these people that said, yeah, we're separating mother and child. They knew that when they brought their children over here. They brought those kids here. We didn't cause it, the stuff that they did. We didn't cause that. Thank you for the 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Okay. You have a good day.
Have a good day. You too.
Take it easy. All right. Let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Jim?
Good. How are you?
All right. This story is about, I don't think I told you this story about the railroad tracks back in the day in the city. And this was like in the 80s. I was driving a taxi for Yellow. And so I get a call from the airport. And so I pull up and there's like a man there and a girl, another man, and there's a kid. So I loaded them. Load them in and they get in and I'm buzzing up Sherman Avenue, you know, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror. I'm looking and it's Dan Aykroyd. He's there with his wife. So as I'm seeing this, you know, I forget about the tracks right near Martin's where A.W. Martin's was, the junkyard. And those things used to stick out of the ground like 3-4. Did I hit them things? And this was an old checker. He hit his head on the roof of the taxi as we were going. It was wicked, you know, embarrassing, but it was funny you know, and to think about it now after 40 years. This was after Bellucci died. So it was wild.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, this is the way that a lot of folks get over to the vineyard, and he spends a lot of time there.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think because the guy that was with us was the rent-a-car guy that he had on County Street. Ted, I think it was Ted's rent-a-car, and so he had him with him. And as a matter of fact, the kid I picked up wasn't with them. He was going out to France. He was going out to Tucker Road to Friends Academy, and I said, "I'll get in." So Aykroyd went for a longer ride than he expected. I took the kid first out to Tucker Road, and then I came back and I brought them down to the Sunoco station and. That's what he was doing, I think. He was renting the car to go over there, and I think he was going over to the vineyard. I don't know if it was about, but it was after 1983, anyway. I think that's when Bellucci died.
Yeah, someone, 82, I believe he died. Someone told me one time, they said, if you want to, I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but Belushi's grave is, he's not buried where the grave marker is
right,
in the cemetery.
Right.
They had to move him because people kept trying to dig him up. And so I asked the caretaker of the cemetery who I was speaking with, I said, you know, can you show me where he's really buried? And he's like, I'll give you a rough idea, but I'm not going to show you the exact spot. And he showed me kind of the rough idea. And he says, if you want to know the exact spot where he is, come here when Aykroyd's here. Because when Aykroyd comes, and I guess he used to go on the anniversary of his death every year, when Aykroyd would go, he would walk right to the right spot.
Right to the spot, yeah.
So
I know they had moved it, yeah. I knew that, yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was funny, though, because the tracks were, them right near Martins, they used to stick out of the ground like it was, you know, wicked. They were wicked high. So they've come a long way as far as that goes. Okay, have a good day.
You as well. Take care. 508-996-0500. That's the thing is, you know, a lot of those, certainly some of the SNL stars, Bill Murray, you know, Dan Aykroyd, they still have houses on the vineyard. They go there all the time. That's why you see Bill Murray here all the time in the summertime. He probably gets tired of eating at all the restaurants over on the island. He comes over here and eats at some of our places. That's why you see him at places like Turk's and why he goes to Patty's Pierogies and other places like that. Why he goes to Me and Toho and some other spots around. You know, you're limited in what you can get on the vineyard. And when you're Bill Murray, why not come over and get something else? You can afford the trip. And he could probably fly, no problem. He could own his own plane, but he chooses to take the ferry over. So, I guess... You know, as we're talking about Joey Lauren Adams stopping in the Mattapoisett Diner for breakfast yesterday, hey, celebrities are people too, right? They just want to be able to do their regular thing and not be bothered. So if you see one out and about, you know, it's okay to wave and say hi and maybe ask for a photo, but, you know, make sure you're not disturbing them. But we want people to feel like they're welcome here. Treat them like the rest of your South Coast friends. That's why they like coming here, because they know it's like that. And at a time, you know, Onset, Massachusetts, that little village of Wareham, that was known as Hollywood East, because that's the place where all the stars came in the 20s and 30s and would come out and hang out and rent their beach houses or stay at the hotels. They had those big Victorian hotels right on the water. And part of it was because that was the spiritualist camp in the 1800s, so that brought a lot of attention to the area, but they realized this was like going to the Cape without having to go all the way to the Cape. And so it became, you know, a playground for celebrities. And you had the Onset Casino, and they would have big stars that would come and perform at the casino. And then there was a horrible kidnapping and murder that took place, and that changed the opinion of Onset, and people stopped coming there, and it was no longer the Hollywood East that it was before. But we're getting that reputation back. They know that this is a place we can come and relax and, you know, spend some time and just be treated like everybody else. Maybe it's because James Spader's telling everybody how cool it is. I'd say Gina Davis, but she doesn't talk about the fact that she's from Wareham. I guess she wrote about it in her book, but she usually doesn't point it out specifically in interviews or anything. Anyway, but she is going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con this year, and I want to try to get her on the show. So that's my goal for this year, is to have Gina Davis come on the show to promote Rhode Island Comic Con as we get closer to it in November. All right, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few. And you've got no rain today. Shannon Hoon would have been pretty happy with the forecast today if he was still with us. But no rain today. Also, we were talking about Onset and Jackson and Snapchat message. They should have called it Offset. Get it? Because you were, you know, kind of set away. It was your getaway, but you weren't quite on the Cape. I get it, Jack. But I don't know if you're familiar with what Onset's nickname really is, but people refer to Onset as Tesno. And I didn't know why at first. You know, I'd be like, why do people call it Tesno? And then it was finally explained to me one day. It's because the fire trucks, the ambulance, the police cars, whatever, you know how they put the writing backward so that when you look in your rearview mirror, you would see it the right way? So the Onset trucks all said Tesno. So it became a nickname for Onset. So if you ever heard people say Tesno and you couldn't figure out why, or maybe you're just smarter than me and you already figured it out and you're not a dope and you said, obviously, it's because that's Onset backwards. All right. Well, speaking of learning new things, let's go to the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Something called a zero suicide model. A summer movie preview and self-driving tractor trailer trucks may be coming to a road near you.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
An 81-year-old New York woman says she's stranded in Puerto Rico because her airline won't allow her to fly back home with her pet parrot. Kristen Marks reports.
Maria Frederigo says Frontier Airlines gave her the okay to fly to the island with her African gray parrot, Plucky, and a carrier. But when she tried to fly back to JFK earlier this month, a Frontier rep told her she had to lose the bird if she wanted to make the flight. Frontier admits that allowing the parrot on board was a mistake, adding they don't allow large birds in the cabin. Frederigo calls Plucky her emotional support animal and says the two really bonded after she lost her husband, an NYPD employee who died of 9/11-related cancer. Her son says he hasn't had any luck getting her and Plucky booked on another flight.
Henry Ford Health's zero suicide model has cut suicide rates by up to 25% where it's been adopted. The states citing Oregon, California, Washington, Colorado, and Michigan, where Henry Ford Health is based. The model, which stresses close contact between patients and doctors, first developed in 2001 and has been used for the last 24 years. Dr. Brian Amondi says in some of those years, no suicides were reported. Henry Ford Health is now introducing its zero suicide model across the U.S. and in 25 countries. Madonna and Elton John are finally making up after comments made by him over the years.
Madonna and Elton John are finally settling their decades-long feud. The Material Girls singer attending Elton John's SNL performance last weekend and went backstage to confront him about their feud. In a post on Instagram, Madonna revealed the first words out of his mouth were, "Forgive me," adding that Elton had told her he wrote her a song and wanted to collaborate. I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
Music fans who are not able to make it to the California desert this weekend will still be able to enjoy Coachella from the comfort of home. The music festival announced it will once again live stream performances on YouTube starting tomorrow. This year's live stream will also let fans watch up to four stages at once. Lady Gaga, Green Day, Travis Scott, Post Malone, and Charlie XCX all slated to perform at the festival. This is weekend one. Weekend two takes place April 18th through the 20th. Hollywood studios getting optimistic about summertime movies.
This comes after Warner Brothers, a Minecraft movie, made $163 million at the domestic box office during its debut last week. Roth analyst Eric Handler says Minecraft looks like a positive start to a summer packed with more blockbusters. Thunderbolts gets things started on May 2nd, followed by Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Disney's live-action Lilo and Stitch Jurassic World Rebirth, Superman, and the Fantastic Four First Steps. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Police in Florida say the body of a 92-year-old woman was found badly decomposed, the discovery made on Monday in St. Petersburg. The woman lived with her 67-year-old son. No word on how she died, but police say there are no signs of foul play. Investigators say the son did not report the mother's death and left her in the bed where she passed away. The Tampa Bay Times reports he was arrested for a probation violation. That 18-wheeler next to you on the highway may not have anyone behind the wheel. The self-driving technology company Aurora is launching their first autonomous big rig this month in Texas, which has truckers paying close attention.
If we weren't worried, we wouldn't be paying attention to the policies, to the legislation, to the regulations, to the things that we need to be paying attention to.
John Esparza heads the Texas Trucking Association. They support the move towards automation along the highways, but he says there's always going to be the need for drivers.
WBSM Sports.
The Seas lost to the Orlando Magic 96-76 last night. Celtics host the Charlotte Hornets at the Garden tomorrow night. Blue Jays beat the Sox 2-1 yesterday. Those two back in action this afternoon, and the Chicago Blackhawks are in Boston taking on the Bruins tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Yes, we start out cold. This morning, you want a layer or two heading out the door. Temperatures on either side of 30 degrees, but we are a little warmer than yesterday with most high temperatures in the upper 40s and low 50s. We're also going to see the winds stay down, and we get sunshine for a good amount of the day. Clouds creep in later this afternoon, and we will see more cloud cover and even some raindrops overnight tonight. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Into love, the God. Into fear, the flame. And to burn a crowd that has a name. And to right or wrong. And to meek or strong. It is known to scream from the wall. I will, I won't, I will, I don't, I know.
Oh man, did I love that album back in the day. Throwing Copper by Live, I played that all the time. Oh, man. And I saw them a few years ago at Foxwoods. Still just as great. Actually, even better, I would say, than when I saw them in 1995. So, you know, sometimes bands aren't the same. Sometimes they just get better with age. And you know what else has gotten better? The new menu at Brax Tavern. Now, Brax took over the Boston Tavern in Middleborough, and now it's Brax Tavern, and they've created a menu that's kind of a mixture of some of your favorites from the Boston Tavern, but also the dishes that you know and love from Brax, including the Pickleback Burger. What's the Pickleback Burger? It's a burger topped with bacon, cheddar cheese, fried pickles, pickled red onion, and boom boom sauce. So you get that tanginess of the pickles along with the heat of the boom boom sauce. I mean, it's a perfect combination. You can also get some of their beloved wings. Get the granddaddy sauce. Just trust me on that. Get the granddaddy sauce. You're going to love it. But they've also got, you know, in addition to all of the expected kind of tavern slash pub food, they've got some great entrees as well. You can get chicken Mozambique, but you can also get chicken and waffles. They have the Buffalo Brack Mac, Buffalo mac and cheese made the Brax way. The cranberry barbecue turkey tips, those are a really big favorite. And something that I think will be a good comfort food meal for a lot of people, the Daisy May chicken. It's southern fried boneless chicken, topped with sausage gravy. So it's like the perfect Sunday afternoon meal. You know, you go out for an early dinner on Sunday. You want that Daisy May chicken. Boneless chicken fried and topped with sausage gravy. I mean, that just sounds like food heaven. So those are just some of the great dishes you can get now at Brax Tavern in Middleborough. And don't forget, you can also check out the other Brax locations in Taunton and Brockton. You can find out more by going to BraxGrillAndTap.com. And make sure you follow all three restaurants on Facebook, because they're always putting up great deals and events and different things that are happening. And, of course, the great fundraising they do for the community. Brax Grill and Tap and Brax Tavern. All right, 508-996-0500. That is my number here if you want to call in and chime in. And Jack said offset for onset because it's Hollywood East. Get it? They're offset. I get it now. And one of the things that we're going to see more. So people say, how is it that Hollywood keeps coming to Massachusetts overall, but particularly to some of these places on the South Coast? Well, because two things. One, the folks who work as location scouts and who find the places where you're going to film, whether it be a building or even just, you know, the exteriors or whatever you need, those people go from, in Hollywood, they call them shows. So you work on a movie, it's called a show. So they go from show to show, and what they'll do is they'll bring with them all the places they've checked out for other things. So they might go work on another project and say, I remember this house in Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, that we filmed that for Perfect Couple. I think that would be perfect for, you know, this new movie that we're filming. And so they'll do it that way. The other way that it happens is because the Massachusetts state government has a film commission. And that film commission puts together a website and a list of places that are open and available for filming. Because when I worked as a producer for TV shows, that was one of my jobs, was location scouting. And I would work with the film commission to find these properties. And, you know, a lot of times you just go through the website and you see them and you say, hey, can you reach out and find out if this place is open? And the film office gets back to you and says, yep, they're open those dates and it's this much money to film there and all that. But a lot of times I could just reach out to the film. And I did this for, I think it was Mississippi or Tennessee. I forget which one. But I just reached out to their film office and said, I need these locations. And he said, well, give me a couple of days. And he got back to me with 20 different locations we could film in. So I didn't even have to look. So, you know, that's part of the reason why they keep finding places like Mattapoisett to come and film at. Or, you know, when Jungleland came and filmed in New Bedford and Fall River. Now, it's a little bit different when they filmed Finest Kind here, because Brian Helgeland grew up in the area. And so he knew the kind of places he wanted to film at. But still, you send somebody here that scouts out some of these locations because things have changed since then. And, you know, you got to find the places that fit exactly what the scene calls for. And Massachusetts not only has great tax credits for films to come and film here and TV shows to come and film here, like The Walking Dead's second season of the Dead City spinoff, which is going to premiere next month. That was filmed in Taunton and other places around the area. And it's because they offer these tax breaks, but also because there's such a variety of scenery here and buildings, and you can get a little bit of everything that you need. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. Very good. Wow, that's really very interesting, all the things you just said. So Tom Cruise, he filmed in Middleborough, right? Part of his... A plane or something like that? He used a field.
I just remember when they did the car chase down Route 18 in New Bedford for Night and Day, but I don't remember anything else that he came here for.
Yeah, I remember something was done in Middleborough too. So that's cool that everybody's coming down here. And you want to hear something weird? I actually had a dream about Mattapoisett in the diner. I was like, I had to call you. I was like, oh, should I call or shouldn't I? I had a dream. There was a little motel, and the motel, I don't know why I dreamt this, but it was all dirt instead of like, pavement where you could park in front of the rooms. It was just like this little teeny motel. and it had all this dirt. And I remember walking from the hotel, a motel, to the diner. And that's all I remember. And I don't even know why I dreamt, why I was dreaming about Mattapoisett. So it's so weird that, and I've never even been to the Mattapoisett diner. I've been meaning to go because when you said that they got the best roast beef sandwiches. So I'm always trying to make a point to remember that.
Well, I would say, yeah, go there and get anything. So Brian doesn't always have the roast beef on the menu. So, you know, you want to might want to double check before you go. But certainly everything they have there is great.
Yeah, yeah. And my other thing, well, you know what? I know because somebody else went there and they called you and said that you were right about the roast beef. So, yeah, I'll definitely call first. Thanks for letting me know that. So, and then I just want to say thank you if Lamone's listening for asking about me. I heard my name, Sketty, and I'm over in the kitchen, right? And I'm like, is somebody in the hallway calling my name? And then I realized it was Lamone on the air. He sounded really good.
Yeah, part of it was he called in from a different phone, I think, which is very helpful because Lamone sounds a lot worse because his phone sounds terrible.
Yeah, he always sounded so gruffy, like, and it's like I could hear him clear as day. Yeah, so it sounds like he moved into his new place.
I think he was in the car that day. I could hear him driving around. But we used to joke on Spooky South Coast that he had to hang up and go outside and climb the pole and call back when he was at the top of the pole so that he had a better reception.
Well, you know, I fell for that. Remember when last year? I said, I believed it because like my girlfriend says, she lives in Vegas and she said, it's horrible. You have to go way up on a mountain sometimes, like a big walk. And I was like, wow. So I really believe that. I cannot believe I was that gullible, but I was, and I was so embarrassed and that's why I remember it. But yeah, and I have one more question for you. Yesterday, I wasn't good about putting my codes in because I couldn't pull over. I have this pen number I got to put in, and then I forgot. And so I'm going to start carrying a pen and paper with me for when I can, you know, at least write it down. And I wanted to ask you if and I don't expect ever to be that lucky, but if you did win, how would everybody be contacted?
You'll get contacted by the people that handle doling out the prize. So they'll reach out to let you know.
Okay. So I got a strange phone call and they didn't answer it. So if you don't answer the phone, will they leave voicemail?
Or? Yeah, they'd leave you a message.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I got this long phone number at 857 and I'm like, I'm not answering that. I don't know who that is. And then I said, oh, wait, I better ask them. So good. Thank goodness they will leave voicemail. All right. And then that's it.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope that, you know, you keep typing in those numbers and maybe you'll be a winner.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I need to take my pin. I've got it to six numbers. Maybe I need to make it like a three-number pin or a four-number pin. Because, yeah, that got a little confusing.
All right, well, good luck with it, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, you have a great day, Tim.
You too.
Okay, bye.
All right, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. See, our time has gotten stale. Is a little Eve 6. Those guys were like 16 years old when that song came out, which, you know, teenagers making hit songs is actually more popular than we realize. So especially when you look at the age of some of the band. When I played Vehicle by the Ides of March on the Ides of March, and I was blown away to learn those guys were like 17, I think, when they no 19 when they made that song. They were teenagers when they made that song, and it's one of the coolest songs ever made. So you know what else is cool? Stopping by Stevie's Wine and Spirits for some of their great tasting events because you get a chance to try some new things and anything that you try at a Stevie's tasting, you get 10% off during the tasting hours. So tomorrow they're going to have a special event from 5 to 7. They're going to be tasting number 14 from Vermont Spirits. It is an American bourbon whiskey finished with pure Vermont maple syrup. And it's not one of those things where they infuse like maple flavor into it. No, this is actual maple syrup that goes into this, and you can taste the difference. It's not too sweet, it's not too syrupy, but it gives a nice robust maple flavor to the bourbon. I have a bottle at home and I love it. And then on Saturday from 2 to 4. They'll have a craft beer and ready-to-drink cocktail tasting. Over 5 vendors coming with multiple things each vendor to try. So that'll be happening from 2 to 4. It's all going down at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can always try before you buy anything that has a Purple Dot next to it. And I'll probably see you over there on Saturday. But right now, I've got to take my final break of the morning. We'll be right back. All right, that'll do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. I'll be back tomorrow for Fun Friday. We're going to have singer-songwriter Grace Morrison in the studio with us. And my Fun Friday question is going to be, who are your favorite?